Newly elected Representative Andrea Vorobish, thank you so much for joining us today. You represent an area, the 79th Legislative District in Blair County, which includes Altoona. And I got a gripe with Altoona. What is this abomination, this monstrosity that you guys call pizza?
I cannot be responsible for Altoona pizza, but it's Altoona Hotel pizza, and it's a square cut of pizza, and it has to be a square because you put a Kraft single of cheese or your preferred brand of fake cheese, and then sometimes garnish that with a green pepper slice on top if you want to be fancy. But the Altoona Hotel doesn't exist anymore. I actually went there for prom. That was like our pre-prom dinner, and then it burnt down a couple years after that. So, but Altoona Hotel pizza still lives today.
Is it like a piece of Texas bread? It doesn't even look like it's not even pizza dough.
It's pizza dough. It's pizza. It just has fake cheese on it.
You've entered the smoke-filled room, where we cut through the haze of Harrisburg politics and get to examine the laws and lawmakers that really drive the discussion.
Representative, thank you so much for joining us today. For those of you listening at home, all six of you, I do have some unfortunate news. This will more than likely be the last episode of the Smoke-Filled Room, at least with me as your host, as I have taken a job elsewhere. So it's been fun. Thank you for being the last guest here, and to all the other reps out there who were my guinea pigs. It's been a fun journey. So enough about me. Let's talk about you. You did not actually grow up in the 79th. You grew up right next door in the 80th Legislative District.
Right.
Tell me about the area you grew up in, how it relates to the district you now represent.
Yeah, so it's funny because the majority of my life I've had a Duncansville address. Technically, I was born in Johnstown. So I lived in Cambria County and lived in Ebensburg until about kindergarten, and then we moved to Blair County, and I started in Hollidaysburg School District and graduated from Hollidaysburg. And at that point, I lived in Blair Township, which has a Duncansville address and is currently in the 80th District. And now I live in Allegheny Township, which also has a Duncansville address, but I'm in the 79th District. And actually, my elementary school is in the 79th District, even though I was living in the 80th. And at that point, the maps could have been a little bit different, too. But yeah, I have spent the majority of my life growing up in Blair County, and Representative Barger and I like to tease that he grew up in the 79th and now represents the 80th, and I grew up in the 80th and I now represent the 79th.
So tell me a little bit about that area, the 79th Legislative District. It's very similar to the 80th, I'm assuming, right?
Blair County is the only fifth-class county in Pennsylvania that has a third-class city in it. And that third-class city, of course, is Altoona. So the majority of my population is within the city because there's about 45,000 people that live in the city. And then Logan Township and Allegheny Township, and then a little bit of Tunnel Hill Borough make up the rest to get you to that 64,000. The city is pretty much where everything is happening. You know, we also are home to Benzel's Pretzels, Mallow Cups, the Altoona Curve. There's a lot of cool stuff, the Altoona Railroaders Museum. My great-grandfather actually immigrated from Italy to Altoona to work on the railroad. So that was a lot of Italian immigrants came here, built the railroad, and that's what really made Altoona the city it is today. Previous to the railroad, there was actually a very large canal system in Hollidaysburg. So Hollidaysburg became the county seat of Blair County because that's where the canal went through. And then once the railroad came in, industry really boomed in the city of Altoona and it grew into what it is today.
Gotcha. And so you mentioned like it's this class, X-class county with an X-class city.
Yes.
For those who don't know what that means, essentially what that means, it's a very rural county.
Yes.
And then boom, all of a sudden there's a city in the center of it.
Okay. Exactly. So you can be in the city, downtown, getting on Amtrak to get to Philadelphia, or you can be on a dairy farm. You know, it's very, very interesting. And people don't really say that there's a lot of ag in the 79th because most of it would be in the 80th. But I am looking and the Farm Bureau has helped me found some buffalo. So I'm going to see a buffalo farm in the 79th, and we have beef cattle and a couple other things too. So it's a very unique urban and rural in one condensed area.
Gotcha. So what are the biggest issues that you and your community are facing?
Yeah. So right now, I think a lot of things that other cities are facing with homelessness, drugs, like that's becoming an issue, especially in the city. And there's been a lot of groups to get together to find places to house people and different nonprofits working together on that. But a lot of the people that are homeless are coming to Altoona and not necessarily are from Altoona. So that's sort of something that people are looking into, like where are these folks coming from and how can we help get them the right supports so that they don't have to be homeless. So that's definitely probably the number one challenge right now. And a lot of that has to do with dependency issues.
So you mentioned before that Altoona is one of the few places that or cities in Pennsylvania where it's actually the elected representatives in that area. So the mayor, I think you said, and the council board are all Republican.
They are all Republicans. It's the only city in Pennsylvania that has all Republicans in their leadership team.
So it seems like that the issues of homelessness and substance abuse is not something that is unique to Altoona. But I'm sure that the steps that you guys are taking are probably a little bit different than what you might see in places like LA or Philadelphia or even York County.
Right.
Even though we have the county commissioners are Republican, usually the city structure itself is usually ran by Democrats. What are some of the unique things that you guys are doing, and have you been seeing good results from that?
Yeah, so the city itself is looking into doing a lot of redeveloping. So they've been purchasing lots, and they've also been looking into doing tiny homes as well. Because a lot of these lots in the city are not very large that, you know, developers would be interested in purchasing and revamping. And so looking into the tiny home solution, actually what was interesting is that I have been going to a prayer breakfast here in the Capitol, and it's bipartisan. And one of the representatives from Philadelphia, Regina Young, her cousin actually was working on tiny homes in Altoona. So that was such a cool connection to make. And I think that something like that could be used for larger cities as well.
What do you think is what do you think it is that makes Altoona unique? Like, why is it that you think that it has such a different culture compared to other cities in Pennsylvania?
I think just because of the people that came here. So like my great-grandfather, the immigrants that came here were very Catholic, and so they tend to be more Republican because they have strong, you know, pro-life and other feelings, very religious. There's a Catholic church almost anywhere. And then, you know, we have a lot of different faiths as well. But I think that more traditional aspect, people who are more, you know, looking for traditional values to be protected.
Do you find it difficult to have a district that is a city and then a bunch of rural area around it? Do you see their issues overlapping? Are there issues that you face being a representative of such a diverse area?
I think the city brings a different challenge for sure. You know, transportation, jobs, and we're talking about housing. But I like that you have a little bit of everything. I like that it's sort of a good look at what Pennsylvania is, because Pennsylvania is a mix of rural and urban. And I would say there isn't a ton of rural in my district, but it's still a very interesting district that I'm very proud to represent.
Gotcha. Is there any other big issues in the area?
I mean, I think the same thing that everybody is facing, like everything is so much more expensive right now. And that's one reason why I'm happy to be here, because I am a mom. I have two young daughters. My husband, we're raising a family here. We both grew up here, and we want our girls to stay here and have those opportunities. So, like, you know, but life is more expensive right now. So, like, I have co-sponsored the gas tax holiday to sort of find some relief from what we're going through right now. And because I know that's the number one thing people are calling my office about is, you know, why are the gas prices so high? And that's one small way that the Republicans are trying to fix those issues, but just grocery shopping. Everything is just more expensive right now. And I don't want to see people leave the area. I want to stay here. I want my girls to stay here. So we definitely need to change our policies to make Pennsylvania a better place to live and encourage people to stay here and raise their families here.
And the gas tax, that wouldn't just affect filling up the gas tank of your car, right? That would have very overreaching effects, whether it's even directly with people heating their homes with kerosene.
Or, absolutely.
Whether you're, I know this may sound small, but grilling burgers with a tank of propane. But and I know
cutting grass. We're going to be cutting a lot of grass these next few months.
Yeah. But everything that goes, that you buy, is transported by a more than likely a diesel truck.
Right.
So talk to me a little bit more about the other effects that will kind of ripple from a gas tax holiday. Right.
So we are, you know, the end goal is that things, other costs of goods and services would come down as well. So that's the ultimate goal, to make life more affordable by the all of those things that you had mentioned for sure.
So let's get into a little bit about your story here. So where did you graduate high school?
So I graduated from Hollidaysburg, and it was very interesting because a couple weeks ago we had Tiger TV at the Capitol, which is a ninth grade class at the Hollidaysburg Junior High where the students do a daily morning show. And I actually participated and was on Tiger TV when I was in ninth grade. I mostly was sports girl, but you got to be the producer, you got to be the videographer, you know, we did a whole bunch of different things. Imagine, you know, I guess we're 23 years later, which is crazy because my 20th high school reunion is this year, but so from ninth grade, so probably 23 years later, I get to see two of my former teachers that were here. And then one of the girls that I went to high school with, she was here and she's like, oh, do you remember me? And I'm like, oh, are you the new Tiger TV teacher? And she goes, oh, I'm just the principal. And I'm like, oh, I'm just the state rep. So that was really cool.
So and Tiger then, TV is very, very popular then.
I don't know if it was really popular. I don't know if I did the popular things.
But I guess the people involved in the school look very highly upon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my geometry teacher would be like, yeah, it went too long. I turned it off this morning. But other than that, I think people enjoyed it. But so that was kind of a cool experience to have. And I got to be interviewed by the Tiger TV students. Mm. They asked about the cell phone ban policy and what my positions were. And, you know, that. And then they also, Representative Barger was involved along with our state senator, Judy Ward, because they represent Hollidaysburg. So I actually represent a little bit of the Hollidaysburg School District. The majority of mine is the Altoona Area School District, but where I live is still Hollidaysburg School District. Gotcha. So,
and it's like what, the northwest side of it that you represent?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. So just the folks who live in Allegheny Township with a Duncansville address, basically. So
what was it like growing up in that area?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I went to Foot of 10 the first day it opened. So that was nice.
And what is that?
So that's the elementary school. Okay. So Foot of the 10th Mountain of the Incline. So because the canals and the mountains were a big part of this part of Pennsylvania. And so I grew up in a traditional family. I had a younger sister and I enjoyed living here and I enjoyed Blair County. After I graduated, I did go to school in Erie. I went to Gannon. It's a smaller Catholic school in downtown Erie, which was like the big city for me. Because growing up, especially as a Catholic person in Blair County, there's a lot of push to go to St. Francis because that is in Loretto, which is nearby in Cambria County and sort of like the college that is within the Altoona-Johnstown Diocese. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Loretto. Like, there's nothing to do in Loretto, and my aunt lives there. Like, why do I want to go to Loretto? And anyway, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go to Erie, like the big city of Erie.
You thought you were walking into New York City. Yeah.
Pretty much. So, but I loved Erie. I loved being downtown. I loved Presque Isle. I studied political science and I graduated a little bit early. So I stayed an extra year and got my master's in public administration. I think I sort of panicked because I'm like, how many jobs are there for political scientists? You know, like that isn't something you open up the newspaper and see people are hiring for. So I decided to stay for the extra year just so that I would have some more options.
I usually joked around saying, if I get this political science degree, I'm either going to be making laws about food stamps or I'm going to be on them. So,
right. So, and I loved Gannon. I loved being in college. And then after that, I actually did a year of AmeriCorps at IUP in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
What is that?
So that is just a year of service. So I am not cut out for the military, but this is a way for me to give back. You are actually paid a stipend at the level of the poverty rate so that you can better relate to people that are going through issues and seeing how people struggle. And then you also then get an education award towards your college loans.
Okay.
So I did that for a year, and my job was I was working in the Office of Service Learning for IUP, so my job was to get college students to volunteer.
Gotcha.
So lots of different things.
How difficult was that?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, they already had pretty established programs. We did implement it was called the Hawk Rock, which was sort of like a copy of Penn State's Thon. So don't get in trouble, IUP or Penn State, for me saying that. But it was like a dance-a-thon, and they raised money for homelessness and hunger. So that was cool to be part of that. Was the first year that they did that program and made money for those folks to give away.
So you spent the first part of your post-education career more in the nonprofit side of things then, right?
Yes. So then I worked for a school district for a little bit, and then I guess where I really got into public services, I did work for the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services. I worked in our local county assistance office, and I didn't really like that. And at that time, I was dating my husband, and this is backwards. I did a year of Main Street Manager for Hollidaysburg Borough, and so local government, and that was great. And I was somebody who planned special events for downtown events. And we also, anything to encourage business in the downtown district. We implemented like a facade grant through DCD so that businesses could get like new awnings and signage and windows and things like that. So things just to make your downtown look pretty. And Hollidaysburg is an attractive downtown, especially being the county seat. So I did that, and on my street was Senator Eichelberger's office. But I left Main Street Manager to go work at the welfare office because they paid more money, but I didn't really like that. So at that point, I had found out that Senator Eichelberger had an opening in his district office. And my husband told me, while he was just dating me at that point, he was like, don't do that. I'm going to do it. And he's like, well, but how long are you actually going to have that job? And I'm like, this is something that I've always wanted to do. I always wanted to work for a legislator. And this legislator in particular was somebody that I really wanted to work for because my first ever vote, so my birthday is in April, so April of 2006, I turned 18. May of 2006 was the first primary I could vote in. And Senator Eichelberger actually challenged Senator Jubilee. And I voted for Senator Eichelberger in the primary. And it was a divided household because my father voted for Jubilee. And, you know, there were discussions over him having more seniority and would be, you know, and I just felt like John Eichelberger was the way to go on this, and John did actually win, and I had no idea that I would actually work for him. I did a couple things, you know, just helping out because I was always somebody interested in that kind of stuff, but didn't really know that that is where I would end up. So I decided to work for John, and that was great. And the thing that was very interesting is that the person who left John's office, she went to go manage an alpaca farm in Huntington County. So I'm like, okay, well, that's a good reason to leave. You know, like that's got to be a pretty decent office to work in. And so then unbeknownst to me, I pick up all the ag stuff. And I I mean, I had like done pick your own pumpkin, but I wasn't really an ag girl. So now I'm going to Farm Bureau meetings and I'm planning a 4-H day. One thing that Senator Eichelberger had his annual event was an A.B. Ross event, and A.B. Ross is the first extension agent that Penn State Extension had, or USDA, because like it was probably like the 1800s, whenever they, whoever was in charge. But the first extension agent was a man named A.B. Ross, who was from Bedford County. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Bedford was in his district. It's not in the 30th anymore, but he had this program, and we would have about 100 high school students come that were in 4-H, and they would actually like propose a bill, and then but we would always have an ag tie-in, whether it was dairy or meat processing or forestry or something like that. So I became the ag girl, not knowing this. So then I worked for John for about 4 years, and then he ran for Congress and lost, and so that was November of 2018. And I didn't know what I was going to do because I was trying to interview pregnant, and that didn't go over so well. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And you have two kids now?
I do have kids. So this is my first daughter, and it's 2018. So I had her November 8th. And then while I'm in the hospital, Senator Cormann sent an email saying that Congressman Thompson was opening a new office in Evansburg. Mm. Evansburg is about 20 minutes from me. It's where I've spent the beginning of my life. And so my grandma was still living there, and I was like, okay, I'm going to apply. It was for a scheduling position, and I didn't really want to do scheduling, but I'm like, I want to stay in the game. Mm-hmm. I will apply, see what happens. And then I interviewed 3 weeks postpartum. Don't ask me how I got there or what they asked me. But yeah, I interviewed, and then I came back to interview with a congressman, and he said, you know what? I want to hire you for Evansburg, but I don't want you to be the scheduler. And I'm like, this is fantastic, because I didn't really want to do the scheduling anyway. So, but yeah, it was great that I had that introduction to ag with Senator Eichelberger, because now Congressman Thompson is the chairman of ag in the United States House of Representatives. So I got to do even more ag and like plant his first ag summit, where we actually had Secretary Perdue came in from Trump's first administration. He was the secretary of USDA, and that was a whole experience. So it has just been fantastic.
So eventually, I'm assuming Lou Schmidt decided that he was not going to run for re-election.
Right.
How did you know Representative Schmidt?
Yeah. So actually, when I was sort of looking for things after Senator Eichelberger's, I almost worked for Lou. Okay. So, but GT got to me first, and so I went on Team GT. But so I knew Lou. I obviously am not as close as I am with Senator Eichelberger or somebody like that. But yes, I knew him, and he decided to run for judge.
That's right. Yep.
So, and pretty much we knew in after the primary, because we actually had two open seats on our bench, which is not normal. We had an interesting situation in Blair County where one of our judges was not retained, and then Governor Shapiro did not put in an appointment or a replacement on that seat. And then we actually had a judge who passed away in office. So we had two open seats, which created quite the backlog for our county. So Lou ended up, because you can cross file, like he had it pretty much locked up in the primary that we knew that he was going to get one of those two seats. So at that point, people start talking, and I had been doing an event for Congressman Thompson with State Representative Mike Arminini. And it was a senior fair, so I went and had all my, here's how the federal government can help seniors, had my booth, and then we went out to lunch afterwards, and he's like, I think you should think about that seat in Altoona. And I'm like, Mike, you're crazy. I have little kids. I have so much flexibility because I'm working from home. Like, I like what I'm doing. Congressman Thompson is a wonderful boss. You know, like, why would I want to leave? But for some reason, that just, like, I just thought about that all summer. And I've kind of been somebody who was like, I've wanted to run for office, but when is the timing right? Like, I wanted to wait until my children were older. And then I was just, how often do these opportunities really happen? So by September, I started talking to people locally to see, you know, what they would be interested in, what kind of person they were looking for this job, and then also how does this whole conferee process work to do a special election too, because this is something that had never happened in the 79th before. So September, I started talking to people, and then October, I officially made the decision. And I do think that Charlie Kirk's assassination had part to do with that, you know, because, you know, he's younger than I am. Not that I'm like this super young Republican, but
you're part of the young Republican, so
I am. They still let me
represent
in, barely, but you know, I'm like, this is my time. This is my time to do this and make my move and make sure that Blair County is represented by somebody who's living here, raising a family here, and knows what the challenges are. So I decided to do it, and it was a lot for sure, but I am happy to be here. And the really crazy thing about this whole thing is when I first started working for Congressman Thompson, he nominated me for Republican Leadership Program for Women. And part of that class, there were 16 of us from across Pennsylvania, and Representative Wallen was in my class. So I became friends with her in 2019. So to be able to reach out to her as we went through this whole process and just, you know, touch base and vent, and, you know, we had a lot of plans. Don't tell Representative Barton, but we were supposed to have our offices together. So I don't know what happened there. But we are pretty much conjoined at the hip throughout the Capitol. We've been put on two of the same committees. You know, we walk to caucus together. We walk to the floor together. I would be lost without her. So I don't know how often that happens where you actually know somebody that comes in with in your freshman class.
Because you guys were elected in the same special election.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So St. Patrick's Day, girls.
So what was it like? What was the timetable like for when you finally said, all right, I'm doing this?
Yeah.
So like, what was that conversation? What was that switch that finally went off?
Yeah, it was definitely between late September and early October where I'm like talking to people locally to see, because it's one thing for a representative from Du Bois to say that I should do this. And I mean, I am so grateful to Representative Armanini for putting this idea in my head, but I'm like, he doesn't know what's going on in Blair County and, you know, what people are looking for. But yeah, that's really when I did the research, talked to my husband, prayed about this, and made the decision that I was going to try this, because really I didn't have a lot to lose. Worst case, I don't win the election and I go back to my job. So, and then another thing that the timing was great, and this is something that I wouldn't advocate for, but the federal government shut down. September 30th was the end of our fiscal year. So October 1, I was actually furloughed. So I was able to do a lot more of the political things that you can't do while working in an official office.
So yeah, you literally had nothing to lose.
So yeah, so we did it, and January I won the nomination, and we had 2 months to throw together a campaign, and I was successful, and now I'm working on another one.
So you've hit the ground running once you came in here. We already touched a little bit on the gas tax holiday bill that you've co-sponsored.
Yeah.
But the one piece of legislation, it has not yet officially been introduced.
Yes.
So you're going to hear it here first. Representative Andrea Vorobish has new legislation. Tell us about it.
Yes. Yeah, so I have worked with Judiciary, and I am prime sponsoring. This is my first piece of legislation that I will introduce in the next few weeks. And this is a bill that would allow for you to be in your vehicle with a loaded firearm. Because right now, that is actually, you would have to have a concealed carry permit to do so. But, I mean, Anders and I were talking before this, that a lot of people don't even realize that your personal vehicle, you would still need to have that license. And I think it's very clear in the Pennsylvania Constitution that your right to bear arms shall not be questioned. And whether it's at your house or in your vehicle, you should have that right. So, yes, I'm looking for co-sponsors. So any members who are watching this, please reach out. I'd love to have you co-sponsor the bill.
I'm sure you have no problem getting a bunch of co-sponsors for that one. And if you don't mind, can we go a little bit into the ridiculousness
Sure.
of what that this new bill will finally get rid of these situations. So my wife bought a gun, or actually her dad got her a gun when she turned 21, I believe. And she had it in the case. And in that case was also like a bag of like a couple rounds of nine millimeter, right? Not even loaded. They were just in the same container that the gun came in. We go to a gun range to shoot it, and one of the people there, they're just like, hey, I just want to let you know, unless you have a concealed carry permit, you're not allowed to do that. Because even though the ammunition was in a bag, it wasn't even in a magazine. No. It was not stored separately from the firearm. So what the law itself, like how vague is it really?
It's not specific, and that's why people get confused and people think, well, I just bought this gun and this is how it came. Why is that an issue? You know, and they just put it in their car, not even knowing that they technically are breaking the law. So this definitely needs to change because, you know, we can't even operate a firearm like that.
Do you think that the law being written that way has ever saved any lives?
No.
Could you even think of a scenario where that might have saved somebody's life?
No.
Okay. No. I just want to make sure I want the other one. Yeah. So is there any other ridiculous stories that you've heard from constituents or anything? What caused you to want to introduce this bill?
So this is something that Pennsylvania Gun Rights brought to my attention. Okay. So I have, you know, been working with these different groups because I am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. So that's where I found out about this issue. But then, and it was a no-brainer for me to introduce that.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, the last thing I want to touch on here are the different committees that you're on and what your goals are in the next coming months here while you finish out the remainder of your very short first term. So you're on the Communications and Technology Committee, the Human Services Committee, the Children and Youth Committee, and the Housing and Community Development Committee.
Yeah.
Why did you want to be on any of those committees and what do you want to do with them?
So, unfortunately, I did not get to have any say in what committees I am in, but I am pretty happy with the ones that they did put me on. The one that I was most hesitant about was communications and technology because I'm not really like a big technology person. Mm-hmm. You know, AI is scary. You know, I'm sort of like, oh, I need to learn more about this. You know, how does that stuff work? And it's also a new committee, so I wasn't even sure what the goals of this committee would be, but I have been lucky because Representative Oratite has, you know, made sure that we, Kathy and I, are both on that committee. And so we had like a pre-meeting just with him to talk about the committee and how that works. And then I've got to bond a little bit with the committee because we actually went on a field trip. So Penn SSI, which is housed with the Pennsylvania School Board Association in Mechanicsburg.
What is Penn SSI?
So it is a school safety. I'm not sure what the SSI stands for, but it's all about school safety. So we went over one of these session days. We went over to Mechanicsburg and got to do simulations. And they take these simulations. They have a vehicle that they can actually take to your classroom, or they have people come into their site. And they're actually going to be expanding to a larger facility, too. But it was really cool. Like, you go into this room, and I got to interact and pretend that I was the principal interacting with an irate parent who wanted to take their child out of the school, even though he wasn't on the approved list. So I talked to him back and forth, and this actually, I was able to talk him out of a situation that could have really escalated, whereas another member went up and it did escalate and the school resource officer had to get involved.
Can you tell me which member that was?
So not in my caucus.
Okay. <all right>.
But this group was very interesting. And then we went through other scenarios where a student is trying to get into the building and then you couldn't. No one actually noticed until after we went through the scenario that he had brought a firearm with him. And so then we played through it again, and you can clearly see it, but we're not looking at that because we're looking at him like banging on the door and trying to get in. And so then we were able to watch two other members go through a whole like classroom setting. Like they have a built-in classroom as well, not just these screens that you could interact with. So that was very interesting and something that I think about, you know, with our district staff operations. You know, there's a lot of different safety measures that people should be taking. And this is a great way for people to get experience without actually having to experience these bad things, but be more prepared for when these situations happen.
What did you learn from that?
Just, you know, more awareness and how technology can really help and, you know, do the modeling and do the training. When working for Congressman Thompson, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center did have a simulation of an active shooter drill that I got to participate in. So that was pretty interesting. And they were actually training school resource officers from a couple different states and in Du Bois, Pennsylvania, of all places, which was really cool. Like they were in the school and you could see and like, so having these opportunities for people who will be in these situations is very important. But yeah, so that's going to be a very interesting committee that I honestly was not very excited about when I first heard about. I've had one human services meeting and we haven't had any children and youth committee meetings yet or housing. Children and youth should be coming in June, though. So that,
really?
Yes, from what I have been told, now there may be a push to re-refer SB9. Yeah. Now, SB9 is the bill that State Senator Judy Ward, who is my state senator, has introduced, which protects women's sports. I think this is pretty basic. That did pass bipartisan 27-25. And those folks, what do I want to say? So, yes, most people are on board with, you know, keeping
80% of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, keeping biological males out of women's sports. It's a known fact that men are stronger, faster, et cetera, and they are taking opportunities away. I played tennis in high school. I wasn't any good. Maybe I wouldn't have even made the team, honestly. And then my daughters, I want them to have every opportunity possible. And I also want to keep men out of their locker rooms. Mm-hmm. So Representative Klunk did have a meeting with us. And, you know, what likely is going to happen is they're going to try to refer it out of that committee. So we are going to tell them that we want it to be here and to vote so that it moves to the whole floor for a vote. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to move this piece of legislation on. We're waiting too long. The Senate has already done another version. So this issue deserves a vote.
And there's so many. It's gotten to the point where people are just introducing the exact same
Yeah.
bill.
Yeah.
Like just in hopes that one of them will move.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how many duplicates of Senate Bill 9 are there right now?
Like, exactly.
I think there's more than five at this point.
Right.
So your other, regardless of whether or not it's involved with the committees, do you have any goals for the remainder of your term?
I mean, at this point, I would love to be helpful in any capacity. I'm going to try to continue to introduce pieces of legislation as I enter, as I find issues or co-sponsor ones. On the campaign trail, I did have somebody reach out to me about inheritance tax, so I did co-sponsor that bill. So just, you know, I'm going to be doing the best job I can to represent my constituents, I'm not going to pass a piece of legislation this term or anything that, but I'm going to, you know, keep working and keep learning and try to do as much as possible.
All right. To wrap up, we're entering into budget season here.
Yes.
As I'm sure you're not a rookie to budgets, even though you are a freshman member.
Yes.
What is your predictions for the budget?
I don't feel good about the budget. I think that we are going to pass something, and I think it's going to be too expensive, and I think it's going to lead to a tax increase in future years. I am not supportive of draining the rainy day fund. I am not supportive of legalizing marijuana to pay for this budget. A lot of things that the governor has proposed, I'm far from. So we have a lot of work to do.
I saw the math. I think it was actually Representative Barger who did it. And I think he said that given the best possible numbers, if marijuana was legalized to help pay for this budget, it would fund state government for less than a month.
Yeah, I think he said like 2 weeks. I think it's actually,
I don't remember the exact date, so I was just,
So really, it's a drop in the bucket, and then we see like Colorado legalized it 14 years ago, and they are now spending more money on law enforcement because there's more DUIs, there's more addiction counseling, there's more poison control issues because children and pets are getting into it. Like, just all of the negatives outweigh the additional revenue, and I don't think it's worth us taking that step.
Gotcha. Well, Representative, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your recent win.
Congrats on your new role.
Thank you. Hopefully we'll see each other in the future.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.